Welcome to the Faith Dialogue Podcast with your host, Pastor Ken Baer. Are you ready to swim in the deep end of the Bible pool or climb to the top of Faith Mountain? If so, open the eyes that see, those ears that hear, and a heart that is receptive. Get your cup of coffee and your Bible as we begin.
So let me go ahead and read this, and then we'll just kind of talk about it. But as I read it, you'll remember this parable, I'm sure. So it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were watchful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow. So you've heard this parable, right? Obviously, we've heard this parable a lot. A lot of times, the thing that's interesting about parables, and if you remember what I've said, is that we want to always take a look at the context of parables. And we're always trying to get to the meaning of not only a parable, but actually any scripture. Anytime we read the Bible, we want to know what the meaning is. I try not to correct people when we're in a Bible study, but often people will say something like this. They'll say, "Well, I've read this scripture, and this is what it means to me. This is what it means to me." Well, I understand what they're saying, but actually there's only one meaning. The Bible isn't for private interpretation. There's one meaning of a scripture. And often, quite frankly, we'll get close to it, maybe we'll never truly understand the true meaning. But there are many applications. There are many applications for scriptures. So we've talked about a number of parables. So one of the parables I use as an example is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Well, we've got great examples. There's a lot of illustrations for the Good Samaritan. You can be a Good Samaritan by helping somebody. You can help it's like the old Boy Scout helping the old lady across the street. He's being a Good Samaritan. Somebody breaks down in the road and you can give them assistance. Somebody can be stuck in an airport and they don't have enough money for lunch and you help. There's a lot of illustrations that you could be a Good Samaritan, but actually, if you've listened to me teach on the Good Samaritan, I believe that the meaning of the Good Samaritan, the truly Good Samaritan, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that was able to cross over the racial boundaries. He was the one that was able to pick up the man that was half dead and put him on his burden. He was the one that gave it all and basically said, "I'll pay the price." So I think the meaning of that to me is pretty clear. So we take a look at the context on these parables. And if you remember, the reason I like teaching parables is for 2 reasons. One is these are the words of Jesus. They're usually in red. Okay, I printed it in black and white. But in your Bible, a lot of times these are in red because this is the words of Jesus. I figured, well, this is a good thing to study. And the other thing is Jesus was asked why he spoke in parables so often. And Jesus gave this response. He said, "For to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." He was talking to his disciples. "But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." So these parables give us a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven. They're eternal. A lot of these parables aren't so much about something happening now, but actually kind of the way events unfold. And actually this is a perfect example of it, because Jesus had just talked about, this is at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. If you remember, at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had been asked about the end of times. You know, "Jesus, tell us what will happen at the end of time. What are the signs of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus starts telling parables about the end of time. And we've gone through like three or four of them. One was the olive branch. Remember, when you see the olive branch springing and you start seeing it bloom, surely you'll know that the summer is near. In the same way, when you see the olive branch started to bloom, the end times are coming. They're talking about Israel, and the fulfillment of times. So this is an end time parable, but at the same time, it has lots of applications. So one of the easy applications on this is that we have to make the best use of the talents that God has given us. It's interesting, isn't it, that the word talent is used. The word talent, we think of somebody like playing a piano, you know, or Tom Brady, you know, 5 Super Bowl rings, you know, that's a guy with a lot of talent. Somebody that's very gifted has talent. But actually, the meaning of a talent at the time Jesus was talking about, it was a unit of measure. Just like you have an ounce or a pound or a kilogram, a talent was 75 pounds. 75 pounds. And it was the largest unit of measure of weight. Okay? They didn't have tons. Okay? They had the largest unit of measure of weight they had was the talent. It was 75 pounds. There's a lot of applications for this type of parable. One of the applications we typically have on this parable is the idea is we don't want to waste our talents. God has given us talents, and we want to be able to use those talents. The story I tell, the true story, I've told it before, you'll just have to kind of bear with me. When I was in school, I went to a Catholic school, and we got report cards. Remember taking your report cards home to your parents, and they'd have to sign the report cards? It was always a scary type of thing, you know. I don't think it was monthly. I think it was like quarterly or...
Every six weeks. 6 weeks.
Or 9 weeks. Yeah.
Periodically.
You get a...
The word would come down.
The word would come down, and the parents always knew that you had the report card, so you had to take them home and get them signed by your parents. And actually, I was a pretty good student. So I always got really good grades. I got A's and B's, and I rarely got anything lower than a B. However, the teacher on the bottom of the report card, there were like little comments that they'd make. And one of the comments they made was that Kenny, I went by Kenny at the time. I didn't go by Pastor Ken until much, much later.
Go ahead.
Okay. But I was Kenny at the time, and it would say, "Kenny doesn't apply himself to his full potential." And I thought that was so unfair. I mean, that's unfair. Just because I have more potential, I mean, I'm getting the grades. I mean,
if you'd been a smarter student, you might have said, if you were a more challenging teacher.
Oh, there you go.
I might have had a different approach to this, exploring the fullness of my potential.
That's right.
But I'm getting A's and B's and I'm slack.
So it wasn't me, it was Sister Annunciata.
Yeah, you're sure going to tell her that.
Yeah, that's right. You never tell a nun something like that. But anyway, that's exactly what this parable is. One of the applications of this parable is that we've all been given a talent. We've all been given a measure. One was given 5, one was given 2, one was given 1, and we all have a measure of some kind, and we need to use that. You know, it's horrible if somebody's got an amazing talent and they don't put it to work. So, but I wanted to get back to this idea of talents. Now, often a talent was almost exclusively reserved for a measure of gold. Did you know that? It was typically gold. Talents could be, you could have a talent of silver, but that was unusual. Typically, when a talent was used, it was talked about gold. So I decided to do some math. You know me, I'm a math kind of guy. So gold is presently, as of yesterday, is $1,483 an ounce. For 16 ounces of gold, which is a pound of gold, would be $23,000. That's 1 pound. Now, 75 pounds of gold would be $1.8 million. $1.8 million. So even the person that was given one talent was given quite a bit. I mean, this was not something trifle. This was serious. This was a serious investment by the master before he went away to give to one of his servants something that was precious. It was important. He gave him a talent, and if it was a talent of gold, it was about $1.8 million. Now, we'll go back to the math. So then you had two talents. Of course, that's double that, or $3.6 million. And then the person that had five talents was $8.9 million. So that's a significant amount. Now, what was interesting was that when we take a look at this parable, most often we take a look at it as something that's been invested in us. And it's at the end of our time. It looks like when the master comes back, we're to give an account. Well, that's very similar to other passages in the Bible that says there's going to be a time of reckoning. There's going to be a time of judgment. What did you do? What did you do on this earth? What did you do? Did you do good? Did you do bad? In fact, next week we're going to be talking about the last parable that's in the book of Matthew. It's the last parable we're going to talk about until we start over again. And it's the parable of the sheep and the goats. Remember that? And it's the end of time. And the Lord comes and he separates everything into sheep and goats. And the sheep he gives a reward to, and the goats, not so much. Okay? So typically, this parable is looked at as an investment over a lifetime. And I remember I was listening to a podcast. Podcasts are the new way to get teaching. If there were podcasts back, 25, 30 years ago, I wouldn't have ever had to go to seminary. I could have just listened to podcasts. I mean, I'd be just as smart. I mean, it's amazing what you can learn on podcasts. So I was listening to a podcast, and a preacher was talking about this very parable. And he compared it to a lifetime of earnings for three people that we might know. So for example, a school teacher today, a school teacher makes about $45,000 a year. Just say, some teachers make more, some make less, but let's say it's $45,000 a year. Yeah. Twice. I was actually a teacher at one time also. I didn't make anywhere near $45,000 a year. But today's teachers on average make about $45,000 a year. Well, it just so happens that a lifetime of teaching, you'll make about $1.8 million, which is the equivalent of one talent. Isn't that something? If you were a senior vice president at a bank, okay, you would make about twice that, okay? So you'd make twice that, or two talents over a lifetime. And then if you were like a CEO of a middle-sized organization, or maybe a group vice president of a Fortune 100 company, you could make somewhere around $8 to $9 million over a lifetime. So that it's interesting, isn't it, that you would see that kind of differentiation. But it gives us an idea, because again, often we think of people that have talents as like playing a piano, and I don't think that this is talking about playing a piano. I think this is about truly an investment in your life and what you're going to do with your life. You've got a certain amount of talent. The thing that's interesting with this is that, and most of the time when preachers talk about this, most of the time when teachers look at this, is one of the lessons we get from this, not necessarily the true meaning, but the lesson we get from this, is that God doesn't expect everybody to perform the same way. There are certain people that are given a lot of talent. They've got a lot of benefits. They've got a lot of privilege. They've been born into a family of stature. They've got opportunities, had a good education. They've had an opportunity to live in the right place at the right time. And as a result, they've got more opportunity. because they've been given more opportunity, they've got more responsibility. And just like my nun when I was in third and fourth grade, you don't want at the end of your lifetime to say, well, you got A's and B's, but actually you had a lot of talent. You had a lot of talent. You need to invest that talent. You need to be able to use that talent to the best of its ability. And I like that. I like that. I didn't like it so much when I was in grade school and my mom would see that and say, Kenny, you're not working hard enough, you know? I should have given your response, which is, the nun is just not challenging me, Mom.
That's right. You're hurting it, little
young. I need to be challenged a little bit more. I need to be challenged a little bit more. But let's go back to this specific parable. This specific parable, I believe, we're trying to get to the meaning, and I'm not quite sure I have the true meaning, but I know that it's an end-time parable. I know it's an end-time parable, and Jesus is giving a response to his disciples. So I think this response not only has to do with what the talents and the gifts and abilities we've been given, but it has a lot to do with the gospel. It has a lot to do with the gospel. Remember, Jesus is going to die on the cross, not soon after this. This is part of the Olivet Discourse. Right after this, he's going to go to the cross. He's going to die on the cross under Pontius Pilate. 3 days later, he's going to rise again. And then after he rises again, he's going to give the apostles what's called the Great Commission. He's going to tell them that they need to go and make disciples. And we know that that commission is actually for all of us. All of us have a talent. All of us have been given the grace by God to know who Jesus is. We all know that. And all of us have a responsibility to share that with other people. The Bible often says, for example, you don't want to light a candle and then put it under a basket. You want to light the candle and you want to put it on the candle stand. You want other people to see it. And I think it's really unfortunate sometimes there are people that that know this Bible. They've read these passages. They may even have a really good relationship with God. Maybe they pray on a regular basis. But their family and their neighbors and their friends and the rest of the city, they need Jesus too. We were talking about it before we started the discussion today. We had our early people, right? People came in early, so we were just kind of talking, and of course we've had a couple tragedies this week. You know, people that are full of hate, and because they're so full of hate, they'll take a gun and they'll shoot and they'll kill and they'll maim, they'll destroy, and it's so contrary to everything we believe, everything that we stand for. And just think how it would have been different if somebody that had a little bit of light would take that light and be able to shine it in the dark places. And some of these evil hearts, some of these darkened hearts would receive the light of life. I think that's what this parable is really getting to. And I think that's exactly why the master was so pleased that somebody that was given 5 talents doubled it. And somebody that was given 2 doubled it. But the one that decided that he was just going to bury it in a hole in order to kind of safeguard it and not use it, the master was furious with him, because there was an investment that was made. Like I said, that's why I started off with the gold. The investment was over $1 million. I mean, this was not just chump change. This was a real talent. This wasn't just change off of a table. This was something serious, something substantial. And I think all of us have been given that, something very substantial in our lives. And you don't have to have the theological training or pastor a church for 70 years. That's his talent. That was Pastor Billy's talent. That's what he invested. That's God gave him that ability. And that's what his responsibility was, to preach and to teach and to baptize and to be able to share that love of God with a congregation. But for those of us that haven't been given that kind of talent, we at least can tell somebody. We can at least tell somebody. You remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, has this conversation with Jesus. And she's a Samaritan. You know, she doesn't like the Jews. And she's kind of challenging Jesus. And she says, you know, you Jews say that you have to be in Jerusalem, but we have the mountains. And this is a well that was, you know, dug by our fathers and stuff like that. She's kind of challenging Jesus. But all of a sudden, she understands who Jesus is.
and she goes and tells the rest of the town. It's a real simple thing. She just goes and tells somebody that there was this guy that was talking to her that could be the Messiah. He's told her all these things. Remember, there was the blind man that was born blind. He says, I once was blind, but now I see. He can at least testify what God has done for him. That's the talent. He's taking, we can take what we've been given, as little as we know, and at least tell other people what we do know. And I think that gets kind of like to the heart of what this is, and that ability to be able to be accountable to the grace that God has given us. Because we've all been given a measure of grace. We've all been given a measure of grace. So you like that? Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? Yeah, I like it. One of the things that, I've been here at the Windsor now for about a year and a half, and I love this ministry. I love the senior ministry, and I love doing our Bible studies. And I have to change my applications. As a pastor in a church, when I've got young people and I've got teenagers and I've got all kinds of young married couples and we're doing our sermons and our lessons, I've got a whole large group of people that I can give applications to. So I can talk about parents, you know, you need to bring up your children and you need to do these types of things. And the young kids, I respect your parents, you know, that's one of the commandments is to honor your mother and father. But I have a senior ministry here. So sometimes I realize, well, what's the application for seniors? Well, actually, it's pretty similar. We still have neighbors. We still have friends. We still have family. And whether you know it or not, we still have influence. We still have the opportunity to share with other people. I hate to say it this way, but at least, because it sounds like it's the least thing we can do, because it is, and it's the first thing we can do, but at least we can pray. We can pray. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful way to use the light that God has given you, the talent that God has given you, to be able to pray. And you don't have to pray lofty prayers. You can just pray for your family. You can just lift up your grandkids and your neighbors and the people that you come in contact with and just lift them up to God. We have, Pastor Hal and I get a chance to go over to the hospital quite a bit. And at one time I didn't like going to the hospital. I didn't like going to the hospital. I always felt it was just a little too sterile an environment and there are people that were in pain and I never knew quite what to say to people. But God's given me the ability just to enjoy going and just encouraging people, you know, and just kind of coming in and seeing people and visiting with them and chatting with them a little bit. And it's something we get to do. And it's just one of the ways that we get to encourage people. And you can do the same. You can do the same. If you can't get to the hospital and encourage somebody, at any given time, there's usually somebody on the floor that has some medical attention, that they have a need of some kind. They've had a slip and a fall, or they're not feeling real well. And you can lift them up in prayer. And that's a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to do, to be able to pray. It's a way that we can use our talents so that when there is an accounting, and I believe that's exactly the meaning of this parable, there will be an accounting. You are responsible for the gift, the grace, the light that God's given you. When there's that accounting, you want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. Talk about ministry, we had the same thing. I remember my first year in ministry, I ended up being assigned to a church up in Pittsburgh that we had been members of and enjoyed the church, and I was a volunteer and had done a lot of things, and my wife and I were there and the kids were there. It's a great church. And I came, all of a sudden I was on pastoral staff, and one of my good friends, Bob, came into my office, and we had both transitioned from lay people to pastors over a period of like 5 or 6 years. He had started before I did. And he came into my office and he closed the door and he said, Ken, he says, I think I liked it better when we were in the pews. It was, and it's the first year, and
oh, yeah.
First year in ministry, there's a lot to get used to, you know, because all of a sudden you're on the other side, and it's like, I didn't know I had to do all these things. I didn't know we had these meetings and all of this planning, and
I'll never forget.
Somebody's got to count the money, you know. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good to us. And we thank you, Lord, for this parable because there's so many applications.
You've been listening to Faith Dialogue with Pastor Ken Bear, recorded live at Celebrate Seniors, a ministry of faith dialogue. You can listen to or watch all of the recordings at Faith Dialogue by going to www.faithdialogue.org.